right. Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I'm Pastor Doug. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I hope and pray that God's mercy does flood your soul in a way that not only transforms you today, but throughout the rest of this week, you experience the presence and the power of Jesus. We're in the middle of this message series called Forward in Our Faith. Today we're in the fourth part. We've been focusing on things that we can do to help us grow in our faith, things that we can do to help us move forward in our faith. At Northridge, we really believe that moving forward in your faith happens best when you practice what we call the three C's: celebrate, connect, and contribute. And we've kind of been walking through those things in this message series and talking about each one of them. Last week, we talked about the importance of connecting in community with other people so that you get a sense of belonging to the family, because being a part of the church is actually being part of the family of God, and connecting into the family of God gives you a sense of belonging and provides you with the encouragement that you need to grow in your faith as well. We talked about last week about how in order to connect, you have to place yourself in the right environment. And so last week we talked about signing up for being in or participating in what we call connect groups. And I want to give you that opportunity again today. So if you're interested in being a part of a connect group, there's a form on the back table and the information resource table back there you can fill out. Otherwise, you can go to our website, and there's a form right on our website that you can fill out as well. So what is a connect group? Just to remind you, a connect group is like a small group of, you know, anywhere from 8 to 14 people, depending on what kind of group it is, whoever is leading that group. And a connect group meets anywhere from 8 to 10 to 13 times in the spring and 8 to 10, 13 times in the fall, and has different fellowship opportunities in that group during the summer. Basically, you gather together to read and study God's Word, to discuss it, to fellowship together, to challenge each other, encourage each other, and pray for each other. So we hope that you'd be interested in connecting into a group just like that so that you can be challenged to move forward in your faith as well. Now, if you're here and you've been coming to Northridge maybe for a few weeks or a month and you haven't had the opportunity to find out more about what happens here at Northridge, you can fill out the connection form that's in your worship program. Bring that back to the information table, and we have a small gift for you. And then we'll give you a call and find out how your experience was and hopefully get you connected into the life of the church and answer any questions that you might have as well. So this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of moving forward in our faith by contributing in missions. So one of the three C's is to contribute, right? Celebrate, connect, and contribute. Today we're going to be starting to talk about the contribute part of it, and specifically contributing by participating in missions. What does that look like? What does it mean for us? So here's a picture that I want to share with you. Anybody know who that guy is? Anyone? LeBron James, right? It's not hard to figure out. If you're an NBA fan, you know that LeBron James is one of the best players in the NBA. He's been the MVP probably the last couple years. And this is like a Nike advertisement or promotion that says, "We are all witnesses. We are all witnesses to the greatness of LeBron James. And we are all witnesses to history," right? In other words, don't miss out. Take the opportunity to go and see LeBron James, because he is an amazing basketball player. And somewhere down the road, you want to remember the history, the things that he did. So much like I tell my children about Michael Jordan, or much like I tell my children about Walter Payton, who, in case you don't know, was the greatest football player ever to played running back for the Chicago Bears. Just saying, some people might not remember him, but just like I tell my children about that, someday what they're hoping is that you remember LeBron and remember what he did in such a way that you tell other people. Yes, we are all witnesses. But isn't being a witness much more than just watching? Being a witness is more than just watching. When you watch something spectacular, when you're a witness of something incredible, you are compelled to tell someone about it, aren't you? Yes. You are all witnesses, not only of LeBron James, but whoever your favorite athlete is. But if you're a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, you are also a witness of Jesus. We are all witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are all His witnesses. So let me ask you this difficult question right off the bat. As we talk about being a witness for Jesus, the tough question that I've asked myself this week is, why is it easier for me to be a witness for an athlete than it is for Jesus? Why is it always easier for me to share with someone else about the great things I saw Michael Jordan do or Walter Payton do than it is to share about Jesus? Why is it that a championship in basketball for me is way more important than the sacrifice made by Jesus to provide me with eternal life? Wow. As a pastor, even I wrestle with that. We're called to be a witness. What does that look like? What does it mean? After Jesus rose again from the dead, He met with His disciples and taught them and challenged them for 40 to 50 days. And He proved to them that He was alive. And He challenged them to continue His mission. And according to Luke, who was a doctor and a close relationship with Jesus, according to Luke in Luke 24, Jesus said this: "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority," Jesus said, I want you to take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And here's the message: there is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are all witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of all of these things. So do you see the connection between being a witness and the mission that we are sent on? Since we are all witnesses, Jesus says, you are a part of the family. You are sent to be on a mission. This mission is to take the message of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ to other people. You have experienced it for yourself. You have witnessed it for yourself. Now, the challenge, the mission is for us to go and be witnesses and share it with other people. So that's what we're going to look at today. What does it mean to be a witness for Jesus? What does it look like to contribute in mission? How can we move forward by being a partner with God in the mission of Jesus? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 and then skip to 16 and 17. This is, again, Luke's account of what Jesus said and what He did. And so this is what it says: "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and the places that He planned to visit. These were His instructions to them: the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, 'May God's peace be on this house.' If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you now.' But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'We wipe the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate.' And know this: the kingdom of God is near." Skipping down to verse 16, it says, "Then He said to the disciples, 'Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." If you are a believer, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a disciple. You are a follower of Jesus that is made the commitment to learning from Jesus and going out and being his witness or being on his mission for him. So basically, at the end of the Gospels, Jesus takes the mission that he has been on with his disciples and sort of hands off the mission baton to his disciples, basically saying, "Here's the things that we've learned. As you followed me, we've learned what it means to be on a mission. Now I want you to go and complete that mission. Be a part of the team who goes and completes that mission." So our mission, Jesus says, is to be harvesters. To be harvesters, not of corn and beans, but of people. We are called to be on a mission that helps to harvest people, to help them, introduce them to the kingdom of God and what it means to know and to follow Jesus. So what does that mean for us? And how do we apply it in our lives? Here's three different ways that we are called to be witnesses. Here's the first way. A witness is called to be sent. We are called to be sent. Jesus says, "Go now and remember that I am sending you out." Now, at first glance, it seems as though Jesus is sending out a special group of people, specially trained disciples, or a lot of times what we like to say in the church today is he's training a pastor or someone to be a missionary, and that's who he's sending out. And to be honest with you, sometimes we use that as an excuse to say, "Well, I'm not supposed to be one of those people that is sent. I'm just a believer." But that's not true. Let's look at why, okay? Because in the Gospels, there's two different times in which Jesus sends people out. The first mission was for the 12 disciples, whom the Gospels say Jesus called specifically, and they symbolically represent in the Bible the 12 tribes of Israel. So you have 12 disciples. If you go back to the Old Testament, Israel had 12 tribes. And basically, that's a symbolic representation of how the 12 disciples, the 12 tribes of Israel, are part of the family of God. But here, Jesus sends out 72. And if you look closely at the footnote in your Bible, because right by the word 72 there, it has an asterisk. And if you go down to the bottom, it says that some manuscripts say that there might be 70. So there's kind of a discrepancy on the number. But actually, what it's really all about is some commentators say that the number is associated with the 70 nations listed in Genesis 10, indicating that Jesus wants us to share the gospel message with the 70 nations. And later on, we'll share a little bit about how Jesus sends us out to share the gospel to all nations as well. Others say that that number 70 kind of represents the number of family members in Jacob's family. Now, here's the point. The point of it is that the 70 that Jesus sends out represents his family. Not just specially trained disciples, but anyone who claims to be a part of his family is a disciple who is challenged to be sent on a mission. So, in other words, to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of the church, means to be people who are sent. So we are people who are sent on a mission. So, where are we sent, right? I grew up in the church, and I remember thinking that being sent meant that I had to sign on the bottom line to be a missionary, that I had to be sent to Africa or somewhere on the other side of the world to represent God. But that's only partly true, because you are sent by God. Listen to this. Everywhere you go. So everywhere you go can be a place or can be people that God has sent you to. Have you ever thought of it that way? See, the Bible is packed with challenges for us to arrange our lives so that we can have the highest possible impact or influence, spiritual influence, on the people around us. one of those challenges that Jesus shares with us is he said, you are the salt of the earth. Well, think about that. Salt is only effective if it's shaken out of the salt shaker, right? Salt does no good if you leave it in the salt shaker on your table. It cannot enhance the flavor of your food unless you actually put it on your food. It cannot melt the snow in the parking lot unless it is actually thrown out there on the snow. As disciples, as witnesses, the only way that you can have an impact in the lives of other people is if you draw close enough to them. If you develop a relationship with them in a way that can impact their lives. So here's the thing, your family, your neighborhood, your job, your school, all of these places are what I call your sphere of influence. They are all places and people that are filled with opportunities for you to have a spiritual influence. So your sphere of influence is different than my sphere of influence, and that's the way God designed it. Because you can have a spiritual influence on the people who are around you probably better than I can because of your close proximity to those people. You have a deeper relationship with them. They can see your life. You can have an impact in them in probably a better way than I could. God is sending us to be witnesses to those people. It's what people in the church world call the incarnational principle. Right? Being sent to a specific place, to a specific people, to have an impact. Why is it the incarnational principle? Because that's what Jesus did. It's the incarnation. Jesus came here to this world. He incarnated himself as a human being. He came to our world to be somebody that we could see and hear and touch so that he could have an impact in our lives. Jesus sends us the same way. Matter of fact, he even said that to the disciples in John 20, verse 21. He says, just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So here's a question. What would happen in your life if you began to look at everything, everywhere that you went, every person that you come in contact with, as a potential opportunity to be a witness for Jesus? If you did that, if you made an effort to think that way, if you made an effort to pray that way, I would be willing to bet that your life would begin to overflow with more meaning and more purpose. It would be way more adventurous, and you might even move forward in your faith. So we are called by God to be witnesses who are sent. We are also, secondly, a witness is called to share. We're called to share. Jesus said in verse 9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So what Jesus is saying is, hey, it's all about show and tell. All right, remember that in grade school when you were a kid? Show and tell. You wanted to bring your favorite thing so that you could show and you could tell. Jesus says we are witnesses when we show and tell, when we use our voice and when we use our hands to impact people. When we share the gospel, the good news with people, it's not just about telling them with our voice, with our mouth. It's about showing them with our hands. So we share with people by telling them about the kingdom of God, about how Jesus came and died for our sins to provide us with forgiveness and life through the resurrection. But we also share by providing healing for those who are sick physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You see, the word gospel means good news. And bringing people good news is not just bringing them verbal good news. It's about showing them the good news. We make our contribution to the mission field by putting our faith into action. We show our faith by the things that we do, not only by the things that we say. James chapter 2, James, the brother of Jesus, said it this way. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying that you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye and God bless you, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is not faith at all. It's dead and useless. So you see, faith is much more than what we believe. It's what we believe and what we do about our belief. Our faith ought to motivate us to contribute in the mission of helping other people. So we're called by God to do practical things to show the love of God to other people. So when Jesus sent the 72 out on a mission, they were called to go show and tell and bring the good news of wholeness to other people. So he sent them to provide healing as well as tell them about the kingdom of God. And sometimes the most practical thing we can do to provide healing is to help them with the simple things that they don't have, whether it's fixing something in their house or their car or providing clothes or food in the name of Jesus. That is what it means to be a witness. So we're called by God to be witnesses who share the good news with our words and with our deeds. Here's the third way that we're called to be witness. A witness is called to sacrifice. And this is probably the hardest part of the whole thing. Jesus even admits that when he sends them out, it's not going to be a vacation. It's not going to be easy. He says, I am going to send you out like lambs among wolves. It's dangerous. It's risky. It's a risky thing to do. Mission almost always has some sort of risk or sacrifice attached to it. As witnesses, we're called by God to take that risk, to make a sacrifice in order to share the gospel, to be the gospel to other people. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, Luke, the same writer who shared this story about Jesus sending the 72 on a mission, shares Jesus' personal challenge to them before he leaves. So he says in Acts 1 verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. So Jesus challenges the disciples, and he challenges us to be his witnesses. But here's the difficult part of this challenge. Now, I don't claim to be a Greek scholar, and the New Testament, a lot of it is written in Greek. And so sometimes when you're reading commentaries in different books, you get to see a little bit about some of the original language and what it actually means. And so when we see this word witness, we kind of think of sharing our faith and being an eyewitness or something like that. But the word here is actually martus. It's where we get the word martyr. Martyr. Now, being a martyr isn't something that we're accustomed to here in the United States. A martyr is someone who is willing to suffer or give their life as a penalty for sharing their beliefs or refusing to renounce their faith. Believe it or not, right now there are other Christians in other parts of the world who are dying for their faith. They are being martyrs, and they are doing it willingly. Now, I'm not suggesting today that we go out and try to do crazy things that will, sacrifice our life. You know, maybe God has called you to do that or be that. But it ought to make us think, what is my part? What is the sacrifice that I am willing to make? What is the investment that I am willing to make in my life in order to be a witness for Jesus? What am I willing to give in order to contribute to the kingdom of God? I know it's risky, and I know it's scary. And that's why when we read this story that Luke tells about Jesus sending the people out, the 72 out, there's a part in there that's kind of confusing. Because Jesus sends them out and he says, oh, by the way, I want you to go out and I want you to pack a bag. Don't take anything with you. Don't even take an extra pair of sandals. Not only that, don't stop and talk to anybody on the way. What? Like it's not going to be hard enough, Jesus. Now you've got to come up with all these extra rules to make it even more difficult? What was he doing? What was he trying to tell them? What was he trying to teach them? I really believe that what Jesus was trying to do was say, listen, I'm sending you out on this mission, but I'll be there with you. I'll take care of you. All you need to do is trust me. Trust me to provide for you. Trust me to use you to do the impossible. Think about this. Jesus sent them out and he says, oh, by the way, I want you to heal the sick. Really, Jesus? Like that, isn't that your job? You're calling me to go out and do some sort of a miracle? Really? I can't do that. I can't do that. How many times have you said that? I know I've said it many, many times. Jesus, what are you talking about? I can't do that. You're calling me to do what? Trust me. Trust me. And that's what risk and sacrifice is all about. That's what being a witness is all about. We are called to be witnesses for Jesus. So you're called to be a witness. You're sent on a mission that will require some sort of sacrifice to share the good news and by telling them and sharing with your actions. So what's your passion? Something for you to wrestle with. What is God calling you to do? Where is God sending you to be a witness? It might be at work. It might be in the neighborhood. It might be at school. Maybe God is calling you to go somewhere. Maybe short term. Maybe long term. I don't know. But I know this. When God sends, He provides. At Northridge, we really want to help you to be a witness. That's why there are many opportunities to volunteer as an individual and as a family or even a group right here in North Scott or in the Quad City areas. There's different missions and ministries that we support that not only need your financial help, but they need volunteer help. A great place for you to plug in and to be on a mission. We also have another opportunity for you. Every year, we send a group out on a mission project to help other people who have been devastated in some way. The last couple years, we've sent groups to Alabama to help with recovery and tornado and some of the damage there. This year, our mission trip is going to be March 24 through 28, and we're going somewhere really close, Washington, Illinois, right across the border, somewhere really close that was devastated by a tornado. So we're sending a group out to help with recovery in that. And we would love to have volunteers sign up by next week. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to be an expert in building in order to sign up for this. There's plenty of different opportunities for you to serve. And if you can only come for a day or two, it's close enough where you can drive out there yourself. All skill levels are welcome. So if you're interested in participating in this, stop back at the information table after church and see George. And George will help answer your questions or hopefully sign you up before next week. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Before you eliminate the possibility of going on this sort of a trip, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you from my own experience because I've been someone, you know, I often shared about how I don't have a lot of skills in building stuff. I'm better at wrecking stuff. But I've gone on plenty of mission trips, and here's what I have learned that maybe can help you make your decision. First of all, the visual awareness and participation creates incredible compassion. So there's nothing like seeing and feeling the pain that other people are going through and experiencing that will make your heart be incredibly compassionate. Now, compassion is when something moves your heart in such a way that you just have to do something about it. And I've noticed that by participating in different mission opportunities like this, my capacity for compassion, my heart of compassion, has greatly increased. Second, the visual awareness and participation creates incredible humility. Many times I complain about the things that I have or don't have. And going out and serving in a place like this is an incredibly humble and humiliating task. Because when you see what other people are going through and realize how you've been complaining about some of the things that you don't have, it's a humbling thought. Thirdly, partnering with other believers to accomplish a task builds your perspective on what it means to be the body of Christ. In other words, you get the opportunity to be a part of a team effort. It helps you rely on the gifts that other people have. It helps you rely on the encouragement that other people can give. It helps you deepen your trust in other people. It helps you develop relationships with other people that you never had before. And it's an incredible experience. Some of the greatest friends that I have today are people that I spent a week with on a mission trip. Don't miss out on that opportunity. The last one. The greatest impact has always occurred in my own heart. I've gone on many mission trips in the past with the opportunity to impact other people. And I've signed up and said, yeah, I can't wait to go and help impact other people. And every time I've come back, probably more blessed and more impacted by the trip than I feel like I received more than I gave. What a great opportunity. I really believe that our hearts are transformed and become more like God's heart when we serve other people in mission. So the challenge today is to move forward in your faith. We are all witnesses, people who are called by God to partner with Him and contribute by investing in His mission. We're sent to make a sacrifice to share the good news of God's love with other people. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to be witnesses. We have experienced your love in our own lives, and we want to share that with other people. And yet, it can be kind of scary to be sent on a mission. And the mission is all around us. And that's what you have called us to do and to be a part of. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be obedient to that call to go and make a difference in the lives of other people, knowing that we go with your presence and your power. Use us, Lord, to build your kingdom. Use us, Lord, to show other people your incredible love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.